Well, I want to speak to you this morning on what no doubt is the most deadly of all sins and evil. Unfortunately, that's near and dear to every one of us, and that is the sin of pride. I think you know that in our society, pride has become an epidemic vice. It can be found everywhere, and it manifests itself in a multitude of variety of ways. And as much as we hate to admit it, all of us have it. The question really isn't, am I proud? The real question is, how does the pride of my heart manifest itself in my life? I want to try to help you with that. This morning, brethren, more than we even know, every one of us in this auditorium has a tendency to think too highly of ourselves. Amy Carmichael, famous missionary and author, wrote this: those who think too much of themselves, they don't think enough. Wise words. And my prayer this week and this morning has been that the Spirit of God will expose to every one of us just a glimpse of the ugliness, of the arrogance that is so deeply woven in every one of our hearts. Now listen, when we look at the world around us, it is just so obvious. We see pride everywhere, no surprise. Psalm 73 and verse 6, to the wicked, they wear their pride as a necklace, as an ornament, as a badge of honor. Pride is a virtue to be worn with honor in our world today. And as we look at pride in our world, we see so many different manifestations of it that matches up with what we see in Scripture. For instance, there's the pride of position. Matthew 23 and verse 6, the Pharisees, they loved the uppermost rooms at the feast, and they loved to sit in the chief seats in the synagogue. There's the pride of human achievement. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, Nebuchadnezzar walking on the walls of the city of Babylon, is not this great Babylon which I have built? There's the pride of wealth, 1 Timothy 6:17. Timothy, you charge those who are rich in this world not to become high-minded or haughty about their wealth. There's the pride of knowledge, education. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. The Lord said, for you trusted in thy knowledge and it perverted thee. You thought you were the smartest person. There's the pride of spiritual attainment. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. There was a strife among the disciples about which one of them was the most spiritual, which one of them was the closest to Jesus. Ironic. Just by virtue of being in the debate, you disqualify yourself. Of course, there's the pride of self-righteousness. The Pharisee who came to pray in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all that I own. The pride of self-esteem. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, should I live my life to please others? Is that how I want to live? To impress others? Is that the driving motivation? There's the pride of spiritual service. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul says to the church at Corinth, why is it whenever you gather together, some are always looking to stand up in front of others and give a psalm or read scripture or exercise a gift publicly? Then there's the pride of spiritual experience. That was Paul's problem in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The Lord has given me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I be not exalted above measure with all of my spiritual experiences. Paul says my spiritual experience puts me in danger of pride. Beloved, what I'm saying is that every one of us, the human creature, we have a bent towards pride. We see it everywhere in Scripture. We see it everywhere in our world today. The Apostle John coined the term, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. He called it the pride of life. In other words, pride seems as natural to humans as living and breathing and life itself. The fact is, even when you find a humble person, the great temptation for them is they're proud of their humility. The old Puritan Thomas Watson said this of pride. He called it a spiritual drunkenness. That which fills us up like wine and intoxicates us with ourselves. He says it's idolatry in the highest form. A proud man is a worshiper of self. Now, as we look at the Word of God, there are a number of variety of words that is used to describe various aspects of pride, but basically they come in two categories of words. Number one, there's the idea of straining one's neck, lifting one's head up above others. The picture of a person who must magnify himself. Again, the Pharisees, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Whosoever exalts himself shall be made low." The second word category of pride in the Bible has the idea of blindness. The very root of these words, it means to be covered by a cloud, surrounded by smoke. The picture is of a person who is utterly proud but totally blind to it. How sad is that? The great Puritan pastor Richard Baxter said this, "Pride is so undetected by most that they commonly cherish their own pride while often speaking against the pride in others which they don't see in themselves." How sad and how tragic is that? Another man said this about pride, "The world's smallest package is a man who's all wrapped up in himself." The little Old Testament prophetic book of Obadiah, the prophet speaks of the pride of Edom. Obadiah, of course, I'm not going to find it, and I'm not going to see it if it's not right in front of me. Obadiah, verse 3, speaking of Edom, "The pride of your heart hath deceived you." That's the blindness of pride. It makes a person think they're something that they're not. And really, it's the second category of pride that I want to deal with this morning. This is the category most believers find themselves in, I believe, unknowingly. We tend to be blinded to our own pride, engulfed in a cloud of smoke, if you will. Self-esteem, self-exaltation. And it's so easy for us to identify pride in others, but we just can't see it in our own lives. So that's what I want to focus on this morning. We are easily appalled by the blatant arrogance around us, and at the same time, totally oblivious to the pride in our heart. So here we go. 30 common manifestations of pride that are often seen in the lives of God's children. This would be a good one to write down and write down verses so you can go back over and examine in the future. And what my prayer is that this message will be a chilling reminder that we might see ourselves as the children of God. At times, we exhibit a haughty spirit, a proud heart. Let me start with a simple theological definition. Pride. Pride is the mindset of self-importance. It focuses its thoughts upon self, the service of self, the pursuit of self-recognition, self-exaltation, and self-pleasure. Pride desires to control and use all things for the benefit of self. I trust you could identify with that right away. Well, let's go ahead and begin. And let me say this. In a very real way, maybe it could be said that we are never more like Satan than we are indulging in our own pride. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, "Lest you be puffed up with pride and fall into the same condemnation as the devil." We most resemble the archenemy of God when we take on his supreme characteristic, which is a proud heart. And maybe the best definition of all in Scripture of what it means to be proud is found in maybe the most obscure character in all Scripture. He's only mentioned one time in one verse, Acts chapter 5 and verse 36. His name is Thutis. And Luke writes this of Thutis: he thought himself to be someone, but God brought him to naught. Well, here we go. 30 common manifestations of pride. Number one, pride manifests itself by complaining against God or the sovereign circumstances he brings in our lives. You see, to a proud person, he's always thinking that God owes him more than what he's already given him. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, who are you to complain against God? Shall the thing that is formed say to him who formed it, what have you done to me? Does not the potter have power over the clay? In other words, doesn't God have the right to do with my life whatever he wants to do? And yet proud Christians tend to think, God, after all I've done for you, how can you do this to me? How can you rain on my parade? Why not someone else's parade? You remember Numbers chapter 14. After the Lord had delivered Israel from Egypt, after he had answered so many of their prayers in the wilderness, he had delivered them from Pharaoh. He was bringing them to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb go as spies into the promised land. The nation's ready to go, and the spies come back with word there's giants in the land. And all of a sudden, there's fear. There's fear of potential danger, of trials ahead. Do you remember the people of God and how they responded? Numbers 14, verse 1, the people wept with fear that night, but the next morning, the children of Israel began to murmur, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Why did God bring us out in the wilderness to die? Would not we have been better if he left us in Egypt? Let us appoint ourselves a new Lord and return to Egypt. That's the attitude of pride. Complaining against God when things don't go as we planned, when circumstances are not according to our schedule. I mean, think about Job. Maybe there's no one in all of human history that more happened to that happened to Job that was completely unexpected and totally painful, and yet Job came to understand this. Job chapter 33, verse 13. Shall a man complain against God? Does God need to give account of his matters to man? Job chapter 40 and verse 2. Shall man instruct the Almighty as to the ways of his life? So number one, pride manifests itself when we complain against God or his sovereign circumstances in our lives. Number two, pride manifests itself by a lack of gratitude in general. I mean, let's face it. Proud people believe that they deserve all of the good that comes their way, so therefore they find no reason to really be thankful. As a matter of fact, they often complain about what they don't get, because they actually think they deserve better. Therefore, proud people tend to be critical. They tend to be complaining. They tend to be discontent as opposed to being grateful. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not thanksgiving according to all the benefits the Lord had given him because his heart was filled with pride. A proud person is not in the practice of being thankful to others or to God. They tend to be unthankful because somewhere deep in their hearts, again, they believe they deserve everything that's been given to them. Number three, pride tends to manifest itself in anger. A proud person's often an angry person. Why? Because he believes deep in his heart that he deserves more than been given to him. You remember the story of Esther, chapter 3 and verse 5. Haman, he became angry at Mordecai. The Bible says Mordecai refused to give homage to Haman, and Haman became angry. Why was he angry? Because he didn't get the honor he thought he deserved. I deserve more respect from others than this. And by the way, it doesn't have to be outburst of anger. It could be pouting. It could be withdrawal. It could be frustration. It could be seething. A person demonstrates Pride, when he becomes angry because his rights or his expectations are not met by another. You see, for a proud person, everything's always about him or her. And when other people don't recognize that one great universal truth, that is reason for anger. Proverbs 21:24, mocker is his name. He dealeth with others in the wrath of his pride. Let me give you a loose interpretation of that. God help those who do not live up to the expectations of the proud. Number four, pride tends to manifest itself by an attitude of superiority. A proud person often finds himself just looking down on others. They're not good enough. They're not smart enough. They're not talented enough. They're not worthy of my lofty status. A proud person, because of his superiority, is easily disappointed in others. He has no real room for differences with others. That was the Pharisees, right? Luke chapter 7, verse 39. The Pharisees became all upset because Jesus just touched a sinner. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11, they became all upset because he was eating with sinners. You see, for the proud Pharisees, they were disgusted by and had little time for those whom they deemed inferior to them. Number five, pride often manifests itself through an inflated view of one's importance. An inflated view of one's importance. This was the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, they were proud of their superior knowledge. Chapter 1 and verse 7, they were proud because they had all of the gifts. They were proud of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they were so proud of what they owned that when they gathered together for the Lord's Supper, they refused to share their food with those who didn't have. Why would we have to share with them, the have-nots of this world? In fact, they were so proud of who they were. You remember, Paul gives that profound statement in chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, what do you have that hasn't been given to you, implied from above? Proud people have a wrong perception of themselves. Somehow they've come to the conclusion that everything they have and everything they are is because of them. James says in chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and precious gift comes from the Father of lights, the Creator. Some people believe they're the source of all that is good and worthy and praiseful in this life. They see themselves as the accomplisher of all that they have. They're proud of their gifts, proud of their abilities, proud of their wealth, proud of their possessions, proud of their position, proud of their importance, and they are self-deceived because all they have, they've been given from above. Number six, by contrast, and this is an important one for some, by contrast, pride is also revealed by focusing on one's lack of gifts, focusing on one's lack of abilities. You see, some very proud people don't come across as proud at all because they're always down on themselves. I'm really not very talented. I'm not very gifted. I'm not very smart. I'm not very creative. In other words, they're all caught up in self-pity. And you see, that's just the flip side of the pride coin. Some people walk around with a woe is me attitude, and their pride is demonstrated by their constant focus and complaining about themselves, in this case, how God has shortchanged them, how he's given them a raw deal, physically, intellectually, materially, ability-wise. Self-pitying people, they desperately want what they believe they lack, but not for the glory of God, but so that they could glory before others, the glory in their mind they believe others have because they have those things. Number seven, pride manifests itself often through perfectionism. For the true perfectionist, no one else can ever do it right. But you see, that's fine with him or her because it makes them feel good about themselves. They're the only ones who could ever really get it right. Also with the perfectionist, there's the common problem of making things that are less important, most important, the highest of importance. You see, for the perfectionist, there's always a perfect way, and it always must be done perfectly by every single person. The perfectionist has a difficult time dealing with people because people don't live up to their standards of perfection. Jesus gives a great illustration of this in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 24. Speaking of the Pharisees, he calls them blind guides. And he says, you strain at a gnat. You are so caught up in perfectionism that you strain at a gnat even. But you end up swallowing a camel. That's the perfectionist. They are so consumed that everything gets done exactly right that very often they miss what is most important. Jesus said in verse 25, you are so diligent to clean every cup and platter, don't you realize on the inside you are filled with dead men's bones? The perfectionist is so proud of his little idiosyncrasies that he majors on the minors and he minors on the majors, which is people. And he just tends to shatter all the people around him who don't live up to his standards. Number 8, pride manifests itself by talking too much. I mean, to put it simply, proud people, they talk too much. Why? Because they think they're the only ones who really have anything to say that's important. Proud people will regularly interrupt conversations. They will dominate conversations. They will direct conversations to that which interests them. David has a word for all of us on that. Psalm 141 in verse 3. He prays, set a watch over my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, there is no lack for sin. But he who learns to refrain his words is wise. Number 9, pride often manifests itself by talking too much about oneself. What's the favorite subject of the proud? Himself, right? His stories, his jokes, his accomplishments, his problems, his children, his life. Proverbs 27 in verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. You let a proud person get on their favorite subject, they just go forever. Forever and ever. Number 10, proud people desire independence and control. That's why proud people find it extremely difficult to work under someone or even with someone. They can't bring themselves to place themselves under someone's authority. They have to be their own boss. Their attitude is often rigid. It is stubborn. It is headstrong. And Paul said in Ephesians 5:21 that every one of us ought to be willing and able to submit ourselves to everyone else. In other words, every one of us ought to be able to work for everyone else in this room if the circumstances called for it. You remember the proud Corinthians refused to do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 and following, some said, well, I'm only going to follow Paul. I'm not following anybody else but Paul. Well, I'm only going to follow Apollos. I won't follow anyone else. Well, you know, we only follow Christ. We don't follow any man. Proud people have a hard time following anyone, let alone everyone. Number 11, pride often manifests itself by being consumed with what others think about them. Some proud people are way too concerned with the opinion of others. In fact, the opinion of others tends to be the driving force in their life. All of the decisions they make are in line with what are others going to think about this. They are continually pursuing the gaining of approval and esteem of others. C.S. Lewis wrote this. Proud people have the constant itch of self-regard, and they desire the pleasure of self-approval. Again, that was the Pharisees, right? Matthew 23 and verse 5, they did all their works to be seen by others. Proud people tend to be men pleasers as opposed to God pleasers. Number 12, Pride often manifests itself by being devastated by criticism. Proud people really struggle with criticism. You see, they cannot bear the reality that they're not perfect, that they have weaknesses, that they have flaws. And thus, they can't accept the criticism of those flaws. Therefore, proud people get really defensive when you approach them to correct them. I mean, they're either right or they have all kinds of reasons why they made this one mistake. And criticism just devastates them. Because the most important thing to a proud person is their reputation, their desire that others would hold them in high regard. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low. You see, a man's pride lifts him up so high that when criticism comes and knocks him off that high pedestal, he falls a long way and the crash is great. It devastates him. Number 13, pride often manifests itself by being unteachable. I mean, that's obvious, right? You can't teach a proud person anything because he already knows everything. He's simply superior in knowledge. Proud people have a hard time listening and learning from others because they don't respect anyone more than they respect themselves. That happened to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 43 and verse 2. The other prophets begin to hound him, saying, Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord God does not speak through you. Pride stunts growth because proud people only hear what they want to hear. They are by nature unteachable. Number 14, pride manifests itself by being sarcastic or degrading towards others. The most unkind people in the world are proud people. They tend to belittle others because they see themselves as above others. Proverbs 12:18, there is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Proud people, they take out their little verbal swords and they just love to chop people up into little pieces. For all their flaws, for all their shortcomings. Proverbs 28, verse 25, he who is proud of heart continually stirs up strife. It's the nature of proud people to continually vent their frustration upon others. The weaknesses of others so bother them, so irritate them, they feel like they have to just make it known. They're like a verbal scandal sheet. And they have to let everyone know that they have made a self-righteous judgment on others. Number 15. Pride often manifests itself by a lack of lowly service to others. Proud people don't often serve a menial task because they're not thinking of others when they serve. They're thinking of themselves. How is this area of service going to advance my cause? How is it going to build my reputation? How is it going to make me look good before others? They desire to serve in places of influence, positions of prestige, and they want to be coaxed to serve. They want to be begged to serve, and they often don't serve in one place very long because they serve and initially there's praise. When the praise dies down, so does their desire to serve. Proud people only will serve if they get the recognition they desire, which was unlike the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, Paul says, I came to you serving in all humility of mind. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says, we're to serve one another for love's sake. Pride is a difficult time serving out of love because the proud person loves himself most of all. Number 16, halfway. Pride often manifests itself in a lack of compassion. Think with me here. You see, a proud person's heart is so filled with self-love that there's really little room in their heart left to love others. Proud people lack compassion. They lack compassion because they have a hard time seeing beyond their own desires. I mean, they are so wrapped up in themselves that it has to be an earth-shattering event for them to kind of leave their self-love and show compassion for others. And at that, it's only fleeting till they could get back to doing what they love to do, and that is loving themselves. One way to measure the pride of one's heart is to examine our compassion or our lack of compassion to those who are in need. Listen to Hebrews 5:2, speaking of Christ, he was able to have compassion on those who are ignorant and needy. How was he able to do that? Seeing he himself subjected himself to weakness. In other words, Christ put himself in a place of weakness, and that allowed him to identify with and have compassion on the weakness of others. Proud people, because they're willing to admit few flaws, few needs, have a difficult time expressing compassion for those who have flaws and needs. Number 17, pride often manifests itself by being defensive or blame-shifting. I mean, proud people are experts at shifting the blame, right? It must be someone else's fault because it can't be my fault. That was Adam, Genesis 3:13. It was the wife who you gave me. I mean, it's her fault, but if you want to get to the root of it, Lord, it's really your fault. It's not my fault. Most people learned this as children, by the way, and they carried it into adulthood. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the excuses that parents will accept for their children's wrongdoing. And what they do is they train their children that they're not wrong, they are not flawed, they have no faults. So children go into adulthood like that, and they're not received very well by the world, by the way, who is just the same way. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. He that hateth reproof is stupid. Proud people are stupid people because they rarely, if ever, accept constructive criticism. You can't pin them down. They've got an answer and excuse for every accusation. Number 18, pride manifests itself by an unwillingness to admit wrongdoing. The most difficult words in the English language for a proud person is, I am wrong. I messed up. It's all my fault. At best, you may get them to take partial blame, but not full blame. That's almost impossible. Proverbs 10 and verse 17, he that refuseth correction errs. He that refuses to admit he's wrong when he's wrong is really, really wrong. Number 19, pride manifests itself in a lack of forgiveness. If the hardest words for a proud person to utter is, I am wrong, it's all my fault, the second most difficult words are, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I have to tell you that though it seems I find myself uttering those words often, every time they come out of my mouth, I want to close my mouth and just keep them in. It's so hard to utter those words. I was wrong. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. You know what Jesus says, by the way? You can't come and worship me unless you know how to say those words. Matthew 5:23, if someone comes to bring their gift at the altar and they have aught against their brother, in other words, they haven't settled that forgiveness, leave the gift, go and tell your brother you're sorry, then come back and worship me. First go and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Then you could worship God. Number 20, pride often manifests itself in a lack of prayer. Most proud people pray very little, because they depend upon themselves, not upon God. And when they do pray, their prayers usually are centered on themselves. Proud people don't pray for others. They pray for that which consumes them, that is themselves. That was the Pharisee again. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, the proud Pharisee goes to the temple to pray. And who does he pray for? He prays for himself. Of course he does. He's consumed with self. So he prays for self. If you pray very little, it's mostly for your interest. In other words, for yourself, those things you want, your family, the most intimate part of your life that'll bring you good in life, that's a clear sign of pride. Number 21, Pride often manifests itself in resisting or disrespecting authority. That's why we could say with confidence we live in a proud nation. You can measure the pride of your heart by how you respond to the God-given authority in your life. Do you resist? Do you manifest a stubborn attitude, an attitude of disrespect? That's pride. That was the Jews, by the way, Luke 19:14. Speaking of Jesus, we will not have this man to rule over us. No one's going to tell me what to do. A proud person detests being told what to do. Children do it, by the way. So do wives. So do employees. So do Christians. So do citizens. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourself to every God-given authority for the Lord's sake. Number 22, pride manifests itself by voicing opinions when not even asked. A proud person cannot keep his opinions to himself. Of course, they're too profound, right? They're too needful. They're too worthy. And listen, a proud person not only voices his opinion, but they do it with authority. His opinions are right. Of course they are. Everyone's been waiting for him to weigh in. Proverbs 21 in verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. A man's pride convinces him that his opinions are divine. Number 23, pride manifests itself by minimizing its own sins and shortcomings. A proud person typically thinks that his sin is no big deal. I mean, really, how could God be unhappy with me, right? Proverbs 16:2, a man's way is clean in his own eyes. A proud person does not offer to say he's sorry to man. He does not offer to say he's sorry to God because he doesn't have to. He's okay. Number 24, though a proud person tends to minimize his own sins, number 24, he tends to maximize the sins of others. Tends to maximize the sins and shortcomings of others. The perfect passage, of course, is Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. Jesus, speaking to proud people, says, why are you focused on the sliver in your brother's eye when you've got this great big log in your eye? Look at the log in your eye. Deal with the log in your eye. Maybe you'd be able to lovingly help your brother with the sliver in his eye. Proud people live under an optical illusion. When they look at their sin, it seems so very small. When they look at the sin of others, it looks great. It is monumental. The truth of the matter is, for the true spiritual Christian, it should be just the opposite, right? Doesn't Paul say that? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15? Paul says, when I think of myself, I see myself as the chief of sinners. Wait a minute, Paul, how in the world could you say that? You're the great apostle Paul. Paul says, when I look at others around me, I do see sin outwardly in their lives. I see it. But when I examine my own life, I see what's inside. And believe me, it is far greater than the sin I see outside in the lives of others. So for the truly humble Christian, he is the greatest sinner he knows. But to the proud, he sees so many worse than himself. Compared to them, he's really not that bad at all. Number 25, pride manifests itself by being impatient and irritable with others. To a proud person, his time, his schedule, his plans, they are such of supreme importance that he becomes easily impatient and irritable with those around him. A proud person stands in line at the grocery store. He's upset at the 90-year-old woman in front of him with 100 coupons. Of course, she could barely manage to live. She needs every one of those coupons. He's upset with the cashier because they're slow as molasses. He's upset at the manager that there's not more lines to go to. And he's upset there's not another store closer to his house that could save him time as well. That's the proud person. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. With pride comes nothing but strife. Of course. By the way, a proud person is inflexible on preference issues as well. I mean, they simply don't understand why others don't see things their way. Number 26. Pride often manifests itself by jealousy or envy. Proud people have a difficult time rejoicing in the good fortune of others. I mean, certainly I deserve that vacation more than they did, right? I deserve that prize more than they did. Proud people are provoked to jealousy by the good fortune of others, which is just the opposite of love, which does not envy, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is happy. It rejoices when good comes to others. Pride is not, because pride feels it's always more deserving. Number 27, pride tends to use others for its own gain. I always laugh when I think of the man who said this, "I have friends that I haven't even used yet." That's a proud man. A proud person usually views others in terms of what they can do for him and not what he can do for them. A proud person's focus of ministry is not others. Instead, everything is for him. It is about him. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done by selfish ambition, but with humility consider others above yourself. And don't concern yourself with your own interest, but concern yourself with the interest of others." Number 28, pride often manifests itself in the desire to cover one's sins, faults, and mistakes. You see, the greatest fear of a proud person is that others might find out that they're not all they present themselves to be. So they cover their sins. They refuse to talk about their shortcomings. They rarely admit their flaws. Contrast to James chapter 5, verse 14. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another." That is just gone in American Christianity today. That transparency. We don't want anyone to know our struggles because they may find out we're just like them. Same temptations, same weakness, same sins. Proverbs chapter 11 in verse 2, "When pride cometh, then comes shame." That's true. Pride hides the truth about our flaws, and then when God exposes them, because you can be sure your sin will find you out, that brings great shame. 29, pride often manifests itself by drawing attention to oneself. Pride thinks so highly of itself, and it also desires others to do as well. So pride comes up with all kinds of ways to draw attention to itself. Maybe it's through attire, very revealing attire, or attire that is loud, or attire that is strange and unique, sleazy. So many other ways, of course. Talking about our problems all the time. Bizarre behavior, the class clown, rebellion. Pride desires to call attention to itself and will go to every length to do so. 2 Timothy 3:2, Paul talks about those who continually boast of themselves. They love to call attention to themselves. Number 30, finally. Pride often manifests itself by not having close, intimate, personal friends. Proud people seldom have close relationships because the burdens outweigh the benefits. You see, if I get too close to someone, I might have to help them, and that may become an obstacle to helping me. Also, proud people see themselves as self-sufficient. I mean, they simply don't need other people. Proverbs 18:1, listen to this. "He who separates himself does so because he seeks his own desires." A proud person wants no accountability to anyone or anything but his own desires. Well, there it is. 30 manifestations of pride. In the children of God, did you see yourself in any one or two? I hope so. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we are a liar." Pride is such a devastating sin, it is blinding. And the strange thing is, we have such a hard time seeing it in ourselves, but others see it so clearly. I do want to remind you that there was one who walked this world who was not proud. His name was Jesus. And the Bible says, though he was God, he did not seek that reputation, but he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death, and the worst shameful death, the death of the cross. And what are we to do with that man in that humility? Paul says, let this attitude that was in him, Philippians 2:5, be in you as well. So I encourage you. I'm guessing it'll be up on the website. You could get the CD. You talk to Anthony after. To get back and listen to these or go over them again prayerfully and ask God to reveal which one of the 30, which five of the 30 most reveals the pride of your heart. Let's bow for prayer.